If you're purchasing a new home or refinancing your existing home, then you need to call Team Hochberg, your trusted local lender, 855-563-2843, or visit 56david.com. Atlantic Coast Mortgage, Equal Housing Lender, NMLS 643-114.
This week in 1937, people around Chicago felt the earth move. Anna DeVontis now with more on This Week in Chicago History. Good morning, Anna.
Morning, Bob. You're right. Go back. Let's take everyone back to the morning of March 8th, 1937 in Chicago. And just past midnight, Bob, when the entire city was literally jolted awake, waking up to a 5.4 magnitude earthquake from the far south side to Evanston all the way out west, everyone felt it. And it was an unfamiliar and unsettling sensation, if you think about it. The next morning, the front page of the Chicago Tribune read, "City jarred by earthquake." And while it went on to say that it was really just frazzled nerves and a few broken dishes, no damage, and no one appeared to be seriously hurt, it was reassuring to readers. But it just, you think about it, at that time, we didn't have this access to immediate news or understanding. We couldn't go to social media for some seismologist to confirm what it was. So people just kind of wondered, is it an explosion? What happened? And we're pretty scared for a while. But, you know, it's just a reminder that while there are no major active fault lines directly under Chicago, that we tremors can be felt from fault lines that are hundreds of miles away. That one was centered in Ohio, and we felt them, you know, in recent years. 2023, we had one, a minor one, 2024, and a pretty strong one back in 2008, a 5.2 quake centered around Mount Carmel, Illinois. I don't know if you felt any of those, but pretty shocking when you first feel it. You're like, what? Whoa, what's going on?
Right. You don't know.
You don't
Unfortunately,
know.
It doesn't happen very much. And we get gigantic hail occasionally, like we did last night. But as far as the city goes, no earthquakes. Well, the news this week in 1980 was all about the Chicago firefighter strike, wasn't it?
Yeah, pretty unusual situation. A city firefighter strike citywide was underway, Bob. 4,000 firefighters walked off the job in a labor dispute. And the background was that Mayor Jane Byrne had promised the firefighters something no other mayor had promised before, a formal labor contract granting the full wishes of the firefighters union, kind of part of her election. And she got a lot of firefighters that came out and supported her. But then it never really happened. They reached an impasse in their labor disputes, in their labor negotiations, I should say. On February 14th, 1980, the firefighters walked off the job. And this week in Chicago history, after 23 long days on the picket lines, they headed back to the firehouses, the first and only firefighter strike in city history. And we pulled a clip, some of the news coverage from that time, Bob, March 1980.
Bill Curtis and Walter Jacobson with Mayor Jane Byrne. It was a scary time because everybody wondered, well, what happens if there's a fire?
Yeah. And what happens when there was a fire, Bob? Apparently, the city cobbled together this group of police officers and kind of battalion chiefs who were not striking, and then brand new recruits right out of the fire academy, and put together fire crews that the streets and sand workers drove the trucks to respond. And that kind of worked, but really striking firefighters realized the importance of their work, and they were also breaking picket lines regularly to fight fires and rescue people. And thankfully, it was all resolved. True story, with the help of the Reverend Jesse Jackson, who served as a mediator in those negotiations. So, pretty interesting.
And we've been talking a lot about McDonald's new gigantic Big Arch Burger, but there was a time not too long ago when all the talk was about something called, and who remembers, the McJordan Burger. Tell us about this.
Oh, right. Okay. Dying to know if you remember this one, Bob, because I certainly didn't. 1991, the McDonald's launched a special burger only in the Chicago area called the McJordan Burger. Do you remember the McJordan Burger?
No, I don't. Not at all.
It's strange because you go back and you read about it, and people were lining up to get this because it was only available in the Chicago area initially, 350 McDonald's stores. It was named for Michael Jordan, and it was designed by Michael Jordan to reflect the way his family prepared burgers growing up. So for $1.89, you got a juicy quarter pounder, made the way Michael liked it, smoked bacon, McJordan barbecue sauce, a special sauce just for Jordan, cheese, onions, pickles, and mustard. And for the first time, this was the first time McDonald's had named a sandwich for a superstar. They rolled it out, and if you don't remember or if you're doubting that it ever existed, we pulled a Chicago ad for the McJordan special burger at McDonald's.
And Michael helped design it, too, didn't he?
Yeah, he was. It was his family recipe. He said he got really involved in that. I don't know that he'd have the time to do that today. Maybe he would, but quite an honor, Bob. He didn't have a ring yet, but he had a McBurger named after him. So
yes,
pretty cool.
He did.
Lindholm Roofing has appointments available now to provide you a complete roofing, siding, gutter, and tuck pointing inspection. Call 773-283-7675 or lindholmroofing.com. Tell them that Lou sent you. Lindholm Roofing, their family has your family covered.
Oh, yeah. This week in Chicago history, It was an extraordinary concert, wasn't it, Anna?
Yeah, B.B. King there and his guitar, Lucille. Go back to March 8th, Bob, 1972, inside the Cook County Jail in Chicago. B.B. King, the undisputed king of the Chicago blues at the time, put on a special free concert for inmates inside the jail. 1,400 men and women being held there were treated to the legend singing and performing right before their very eyes. Such a cool moment. It's just thinking about it. It was inside the jail's gymnasium, and the inmates were probably singing the blues that day, but I don't think they were feeling blue when they got that sort of thing. It was very uplifting, the news report said, and B.B. King wanted to bring his music. He wanted to bring hope, and he wanted to bring humanity to those behind bars. That was part of his intent. Before he played, he told the crowd, "A prisoner is still a human being. If you're going to reform him, give him something positive to do." And here's more from B.B. King himself explaining why he did it.
And that wasn't the first time he played Cook County, was it?
No, he had already been there a couple years before, Bob, when he recorded his album live in the Cook County Jail, and then later went to perform at San Quentin. It was something he did somewhat regularly. It was something that he felt pretty strongly about, as you just heard him say there.
Mm-hmm. And this week in 1980, you got up in the morning and you read the papers and you got a gourmet hot dog recipe, didn't you?
Okay, Bob. I'm dying to hear what you think about this one. I don't know what you think about this as a hot dog purist yourself, Bob, but the Tribune ended its long tradition this week of offering fancy gourmet hot dog recipes. And for years, like 30 years, you can go back, to the 40s, and they were these really elaborate and some really questionable ingredients they put on the hot dogs, Bob. How does this one sound? Frankfurters wrapped in yeast dough, smothered in tomato juice, onion juice, cheese, and parsley. I'm not
Yuck.
Sure. There's another one. They said they kind of shaped the hot dog meat like hamburgers so that they could put them on round buns. They soaked them in French dressing. They dipped them in coleslaw and sour cream, had raw turnips and lima beans in these recipes, Bob, tarboiled eggs and cottage cheese. Hard to believe they messed with greatness so much and eventually settled in 1980 for the great Chicago hot dog.
Yeah, I think if they would have kept going, there would have been some sort of city council ordinance or a law passed against all that nonsense.
Protests at the, downtown, my gosh.
More this week in Chicago history with Anna DeVlantis next Wednesday. Thank you, Anna. Have a good one.
Mm-hmm.